Good morning and welcome, everyone. I would like to take notice of the flowers on the altar. Were from the memorial service of Eileen Getchall. The flowers on the podium are from Charlene Tativa. I would like to highlight a few announcements that you'll find in your bulletin. First of all, the community meal is today, and it starts at 4:00. Church council is on Tuesday at 7 p.m. And make sure to make note that on Sunday, July 31st, service is at Whitwin at 10:30. And there will be a catered meal following, so that should be quite nice. At this time, we can turn in the red hymnal to page 333. We will sing verse 1 and 4. Please join me in praise. In all times and in all places, God is with us. Shout for joy. Get ready to become disciples for Jesus. And you can remain seated and turn in the black hymnal to page 2236. Remain seated. Remain standing. Is that what I said? Remain seated? Yeah. Streaming now is the darkness vanished away. See in this space our fears and Please join me in our prayer. Almighty God of grace and mercy, we, your people, gather to be in your presence, to give ourselves to you anew this day. Some of our paths have been rough with trials, misunderstandings, and we have felt overwhelmed by what is happening in the world. But our eyes are on you. Our hopeful hearts stand before you with awe. We are in one body, remembering the many blessings that you have showered on our world and on us in our lives. We praise you as we free our minds to worship only you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And now you may be seated. Our first scripture is taken from the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 through 5, chapter 5, verse 1. And the Apostle Paul is speaking. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise with us Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Our gospel reading is taken from Mark, chapter 3, verses 20 through 35. This is an interesting scripture that Pastor Doris will be preaching on. This is where people were concerned that Jesus was Beelzebub, or the devil, and even his family and his followers are kind of worried about him. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub. By the prince of demons, he is driving out demons." So Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, a kingdom, a house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he is first tied up, the strong man. Then he can rob his house. I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of eternal sin. He said this because they were saying he has an evil spirit. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived standing outside. They sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him, and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother." This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
Will you pray with me? Holy God, let your Spirit now move within us to turn us away from the temporary and move us to your eternal love that is visible in Jesus Christ, and in whose name we pray. Amen. We Americans disagree on many things, but there's one thing that we all can join hands and pray together about, and that is family. We love our families. We adore our families. Most of us would do anything for our families. In that part of the world, in Jesus' day, there were very few human institutions that was more highly valued than the family. So some things haven't changed that much. In Jesus' time, the family of origin from which you came determined your destiny from cradle to grave. You were not known as Joe or Tom, but you were known as Joe, son of Joseph, or Alice, daughter of Joseph. You were known by your parents. If your family had low income status or social status, that's where you were throughout your lifetime. And that's the institution that Jesus is assaulting in today's gospel. Jesus had come home. What a great opportunity to be welcomed by friends and by family. His time traveling around as an itinerant preacher hadn't been so easy. And so the thought then of coming home must have been meant that it was a time to relax. He had encountered opposition by the religious people. He had been criticized, and now he was home. Surely those people from home, the people with whom he grew up, were going to welcome him home and receive him. We just heard that what his family has been hearing about him is not all good. Family is coming to him while he's in the midst of this conflict with religious leaders. And the family's coming not because they want to agree with what he's saying or to join the band of followers. They're coming because they've heard that he's insane. Now, surely there must be someone here this morning whose family might have heard at one time or another that you're just not all together, and they come to support you. When I was in college, I had a friend who was at a different college. And you know, college kids do things that are not always good, not always healthy. Well, I would stay up much of the night. And so some of these nights, I would call my friend Cy from Green Bay. I was in Green Bay. He lived in Kaukauna. And I would call Cy to find out how he's doing. And every time I called him, he pretended to be a little old lady. 2 o'clock in the morning, I would call him and he'd say, "Hi, how are you doing? Well, this is Doris. What's going on? I'm sorry, but my name isn't Cy. Come on, Cy, get serious. I want to talk to you. I'm sorry, but I don't know, think I know you, and would hang up. And this happened a number of times until I got Cy's phone number right. And what I was doing was, I was calling Cy's family and saying, there's something wrong with him. He's pretending to be this other person. I called them so that they would know that there's something seriously wrong with him. I understand that people would have come to Jesus' mother and brothers and sisters and said, he's not acting like he did when he was growing up. I understand that. This passage might sound a little bit strange for those of us who are living in a modern and a postmodern world. Jesus' understanding of evil is certainly pre-modern. But what he was talking about is the evil powers that are in our world. And what seems to be happening here, in part, is something that we have a tendency to do as well. We heard it strongly throughout our last election cycle. If you were a supporter of Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump was just evil, the devil incarnate. And the opposite was true if you supported Donald Trump. She's an evil person, they would say of Hillary. And we do that. When we disagree with people, we tend to demonize them. And although demons were more real in, or the belief in them was a deeper and a more physical reality in Jesus' time, it was this pattern that we have of making evil that with which we disagree. What Jesus was saying is that there is a profound reality of evil that lurks around us. Jesus was taking seriously the realities of Satan and demonic power. Now, Satan to them did not mean a personality with horns and a red tail. But there was a demonic power that was actively engaged against our compassionate and reconciling God. There's a power for good in this world, and there's a power for evil, and that's what Jesus was speaking about. The forces of power that capture us and cause us to hurt ourselves and others and God is real yet today. The power of race, which tells us to believe that one group is superior to another simply because of skin color or cultural heritage, is evil. The power of patriarchy, which tells us that men should dominate women, is evil. The power of materialism that roars at us that money itself is life is evil. And the power of militarism, the belief that weapons and war are going to bring us peace and security, is evil. Even more so when we do it in the name of God. Jesus is saying today that we need to recognize and confront the powers of evil that are in our lives if we are going to experience a gracious, unconditional love of God. And so he gives us this metaphor, what it means to tie up a strong man. And they couldn't call Jesus evil or Satan or Beelzebub based on this metaphor, because if you tie up Satan or you divide Satan, you're tearing him down. So they're calling him evil just didn't work. But Jesus speaks of our need to expose our captivity to those strong men, those strong beings in our lives. And when we can do that, our imaginations can be set free so that we're not the property of evil. Our captivity to evil needs to be exposed in order for us to discover what Paul was talking about in Romans, that glorious freedom as the children of God. How do we come to be a captive to the powers of evil? In the 1950s and the 1960s, in the South, people who had been raised to believe that African Americans, that dark-skinned people, were inferior to white people, and that white was supreme, people who had been taught that by their loving mothers and loving fathers and their churches started to disbelieve that. And those people who began to disbelieve that were then in conflict with their mothers and their fathers and their brothers and their sisters and the people in their churches who had taught them about love. I think we still live with that conflict today. As much as I do not want to be a racist, I find myself pulling my purse closer to me when I'm walking down the street and am meeting a person of color. I am still captivated by that particular evil. And I'm guessing that I'm not the only one. This is not the only time that Jesus wrestles with what family means. Remember when he was 12 years old and they had gone to Jerusalem, and when his parents came back after looking for him for 3 days? He kind of said, "Why were you searching for me?" Now that may be typical of a teenager saying that to their parents, but it had to have stung. And it had to have stung when Jesus' mother and sisters and brothers came to offer him support and take him home and care for him. It had to have stung when he said, "Who's my mother? Who are my brothers and sisters?" That had to have stung when Jesus said, "Those who do the will of my Father are my mother and my brothers and my sisters. You know how important family is to you, and it had other layers added to it in Jesus' time that had to have hurt. It had to have felt like rejection. Our families are a place of intimacy, secrecy. Sometimes those who have power take advantage of those who are powerless, and sometimes the vulnerable ones are hurt by those who are supposed to be protecting them. Our families don't all work very well. But what if Jesus isn't attacking family and the whole notion of biology? What if Jesus is saying to us, your definition of family is too small? It's too unencompassing for the all-embracing God who he knew. That blood was important, but not as important as our sharing in his blood. And we become brothers and sisters in that sharing of love. Look around. Really, look around at each other. Jesus is pushing us toward an expanded definition of family. We are brothers and sisters. And although God has no grandchildren, some of us take the role of grandmother to small children in our church, or grandfather. We take the relationship of brother and sister to each other when we offer help when one is in need. We see that when one or three or four people take turns picking up others and bringing them to church. We see that when a couple boys are playing in the kitchen and one of the grandfather-aged people plays a game with them. We see that when we share the stories of Jesus through Sunday school with our little ones. With our little ones physically and the little ones who are little ones in faith. We're being brother and sister to one another. In John's gospel, when Jesus is dying on the cross, he again expands the understanding of family. He says, Jesus says to John, behold your mother. And to his mother, behold your son. Now Mary had other children who could care for her. Jesus was entrusting that care as well to one of his followers. We may have the experience of our parents and our church being the greatest resource that we have. And when we have the church claiming one another as brother and sister in Christ, we are acknowledging the will of God for us to love beyond blood. So if you look around again, look at this odd assortment of people. Some of us from this area our whole lifetime. Some of us moved to this area and have been welcomed. Some of us still getting to know this community, but are welcomed here. We are doing the will of God. Our families, regardless of how loving and embracing and important as they are to us, this family needs to be just as important. And we need to continue to bring in other people who are also brothers and sisters of Jesus and children of God. Who are Jesus' family? Who are his brothers and sisters? Those who do God's will as we know it through Jesus, and those who play their part in this continually growing family. And so that I'm not pointing at anyone, I'll go, that's you, and that's you, and that's you. Thanks be to God. Let us continue to worship our God through our gifts of talents, tithes, and ourselves. Let us pray together. In the spirit of faith, great God, we thank you for the opportunity to give our resources and our lives to participate in witnessing to your grace among all the people with whom we share life. We give you all glory. Amen. You may be seated. Some reminders for our prayers. We want to keep the families of Eileen Gatchell and Alice Kinchy in our prayers. Their services were on Friday, and they both had long, full lives who were celebrated, but we also recognize the loss. Bob Barr is at the nursing home in Lodi. I don't know the name of it. Good Sam? Okay. Good Sam. For some therapy and rehab, and hope that he will be home. Halsey Sprecher has been having some, is declining in health, and they're looking at him being in a nursing home. And that process is in place. Are there other people or situations? Let us pray. Gracious God, as we draw near to your heart, we give you our praise for all that we have, for the abundance and the abundant life that you give to us. We pray for the renewal of creation as we seek to be more responsible in how we live. Make us good stewards of all that you have given us. We also have marred and broken human relationships. We focus on our differences and our disagreements and forget about our connections and what we share in common. We pray that you will give us new understandings and ways of living with one another, so that we are doing the work of peace. Renewing God, we know that this human life that we are given is fragile. We can see it in our own bodies, how illnesses and infirmities afflict us. Because you shared our human life, we come asking for healing and recovery and an end to pain and suffering. We remember before you those in need of your care and ours, and we especially remember Bob and Halsey today. We remember the families of Eileen and Alice. In silence, we lift up our own families and our circles of friends and those who are in pain. We are grateful, O God, that though our bodies do fail us, you renew us spiritually day by day, so we never outlive our purpose to you. Remember those whom we have overlooked, those that we may have forgotten or forsaken, those who have wandered away from you. Restore them and restore us as well until we are all your family again. All of these things we pray in the name of Christ Jesus, who points us to saving grace and redeeming power in and through you. And we pray in his name as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen. Will you now turn to hymn number 432, Yesu, Yesu. May the steadfast love of God give you hope, the redeeming power of Christ give you courage, and the abiding presence of the Spirit give you strength as you serve the will of God this day and every day. Amen.